Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit about my life. I pray, though, that it is not my life that is highlighted, but your word, your work through this life. I pray that my stories become small and your story becomes big. Lord, forgive me for the ways that I want to use this in any kind of boasting or pride, and just bring humility, not for humbleness' sake, but for the shining of your work for these women. Thank you for each one of them being here. I pray that you just put on their hearts the things that you need them to hear today. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. This has been an interesting exercise for me to think about sharing my testimony. As y'all have probably figured out, I'm not afraid of public speaking. I, in general, the way that I like to give talks is through stories. So it would seem that this would be easy, but my one downfall is that I'm not the greatest at editing. So to give my life testimony means I have too many short stories that are difficult to edit down. And so in thinking about that, don't worry, it's not super long. It led me to look up the word testimony, because I was like, okay, so like I need to think about the purpose here. Like, this isn't just like a bunch of fun stories about like my life. What is the purpose of a testimony? So the word testimony comes from the word testament, which comes from the original Latin, meaning to stand three, and which basically boils down to witnessing as a third party. So the testimony is not just stories of a life, but a witness as a third party to something else. So my testimony is a witness as a third party to what God is doing. And so what is my testimony of God's work through the stories of my life? And that's what I'm here to share with you. And so I kind of have three overarching themes that I would say God continually works through in my life. The first is that he does his work through the ordinary. The work that he does is sovereign, and the work that he does changes my identity. So those are the three things I'm going to talk about, is the way he works in the ordinary, his sovereignty, and the way he changes my identity. So I'm going to start with his story of ordinary in my life. I don't have a moment where God just grabbed hold of me or rocked my world. I grew up in a loving family with two parents and three siblings. My parents raised us Catholic, and we went to church every Sunday, no matter where we were. My parents' faith is not one we talked about a lot. We didn't read the Bible together or say prayers out loud very often, but their faith was one of action. I rarely heard them invoke the name of Jesus, but I saw it in the way they lived their lives. Everything from the generosity that they shared with people to the way that when suffering happened, they started to go to church every morning and to spend time in prayer. This continues to be true to them today, and I'm grateful for the way their faith of action kind of impacted my life. When I was 7 or 8, a friend of mine was going to this place called TBRM, and my mom said I could go with her, and so camp became my happy place. Every summer, my faith grew in understanding just going to this camp. I also was in everybody else's youth group, and in high school, I went to Campus Life. This is an organization similar to Young Life. And it was on this spring break trip my freshman year that I met a boy named Jeff, who was cute and funny, and we started dating. In college, I joined RUF and really started to ask the hard questions of my faith. The RUF minister there, Brian Habig, took the time to help me examine what I believed theologically so I could understand it individually. I also again, to give some levity, I broke up with Jeff because as mature as my story has sounded so far, I was not mature. And the idea of dating the hometown boy with a whole new crop of boys around sounded silly to me and not very fun. So you see, very little in my growing up was dramatic. Now, don't get me wrong, my 15-year-old self was very dramatic. And I did have a few moments of significance throughout, including losing a friend in fifth grade, almost failing two classes in seventh grade, and then being cut from the volleyball team in high school. Those are some significant ones. But God presented himself to me over and over in the ordinary moments, through my parents' dedication to showing up to church, to my friends' inclusion in their youth groups, to an annual camp that poured into my heart, and even to a boy who pursued me when I didn't. It's a longer story than I have time to share, but you see, after I broke up with Jeff, he patiently waited for my stupidity to wear off, and even though I was done with him, he was not done with me, and about a year later, we got back together, which led to the story I shared the last time I stood up here, which was crying to my roommate about how in the world I was going to figure this out because I was so mad at this boy, and yet I knew he was the one I was going to marry. God worked a love story and a marriage in a very ordinary boy willing to do pretty small, ordinary things for a very undeserving, ordinary girl. A few years ago, I went to a Christian yoga retreat, and each night, people told their testimony, and there were some crazy stories. I was amazed at some of the things these ladies had been through and the stories God was telling through them, and I honestly was embarrassed of my very ordinary story, and so when it was my turn, to tell my testimony, I kind of said to start, like, I'm kind of embarrassed, but this is my story. And after I was done, a woman came up to me and she said, "You should not start that you are embarrassed." She's like, "Your story meant so much to me." And this was a woman who had a really, really amazing, hard story. And she said, "Your story meant so much to me because it gave me hope that could be my daughter's story." And that really impacted me and changed my view of my ordinary story. God does some big, amazing things in people's lives, but he also does small, ordinary things, and both draw us to him. So don't neglect the ordinary parts of your story. Don't miss where God is moving in your ordinary and growing you in just even the smallest of ways. So he draws out an ordinary story in me. Also, the work he does is sovereign. That's a big churchy word. I'm gonna break it down to you very simply. God is in control and I am not. Over and over in my story, I have witnessed God releasing me of my control over my life and helping me see his. For a while, this made me feel like my controlling nature was all bad. I really felt like the word control freak, of which I totally owned, had a very sinful nature to it. But I will say in more recent years, God has opened my eyes to something a little bit different. God made me in his image and exactly how he wanted me to be, and that includes my controlling nature. In children's ministry, we memorized Psalm 139:14 in August, and it's, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." This song is stuck in my head all the time. I almost can't, like, just say it. I'm almost about to sing it, which you don't want that. And I feel like that is God's reminder to me every time that he made me the way that I am, and it is wonderful. He made me to be a planner, an organizer, committed to things that I'm involved in, and I should delight in that. But also, this is often my idol. And actually, in week 6, our study, I was kind of jumping ahead, and we are studying about idols, and this really hit home for me, thinking about my control and my idol of control. As a younger Sarah, God showed this to me in being cut by the volleyball team in high school. Most of you know that story. This was a particularly big wrinkle for me in COVID, trying to make plans, but holding them loosely, not my ideal, wanting to get together with people, but fearful of judgment. My life felt very out of control in COVID years. But in that, God drew me to do the only thing that I could do, and that was to spend a ton of time with him in the morning during COVID. But maybe where God most exposed my control was in my plans for motherhood. I married young, so I had plenty of time to develop my career before being a mom, and so we settled into a very comfortable marriage with a 5-year plan to have a child and a 10-year plan for how to grow our family. But that was not God's plan. Pregnancy did not come like I thought it would. In the beginning of our marriage, we actually had some significant hurdles to overcome in intimacy. I won't go into the details, but when you date for 8 years, being very careful to not be intimate, you don't realize the barriers you put up that need to be broken down in marriage. But that was over. We were good, and so surely pregnancy would be easy. But a year passed, and I was beginning to panic. It sounds crazy to me now, but I did not know that infertility was a thing. I felt so alone and riding a roller coaster with each cycle. So did I run to God? No. Did he hold on to me anyway? Yes. So what this looked like on my part, to my husband's horror, besides tears on tears on tears, was obsessing over watching a show called 16 and Pregnant and yelling at these ungrateful girls and throwing my anger into these unknowing personalities. This was definitely not seeking God's comfort or wisdom. But also, at the same time, our pastor's wife, Tara, reached out to go to coffee, and she found out about my struggle and immediately connected me with Casey Register. Casey faithfully sent verses to me over text and continually reached out when, honestly, I never would have reached out to anyone. My plan had been to have a first baby when I was 27, born in the late fall, because everyone wants a fall baby, right? What God gave me was a beautiful boy when I was 30 years old in the middle of spring. But what God also gave me in that was connection in new relationships and a slowly growing deep reliance on him and a purpose to share to help others know they are not alone. And also that 16 and pregnant is not the answer. His control was not a power play or a punishment or even a lesson. It was simply a pull toward him, a way for me to see all the ways I can trust that his ways are better. But in all of this ordinary story and God's sovereignty, maybe the biggest part of my testimony to his work is his drawing my identity to him. As a girl in America, growing up in an age of the rise of girl sports, and then as a young woman going to a top-tier university, go Vanderbilt, we're awesome right now, I had grown a desire to be a working woman and eventually a working mom. I had lots of strong opinions about this for myself, and this is an identity I wanted to have and I wanted to succeed at. So I centered my world around this. I worked in advertising and then corporate event planning, and then I joined my family's business in their marketing department. I did get pregnant, and then again I got pregnant, and at the same time I was succeeding in my job and making a niche for myself and climbing the leadership ladder. After 2 pregnancies with all the hormones and shots and doctor's checkups, we decided we were good with 2 for the moment. And going back to that God's in control piece, God hilariously took all the parts of my body that had been dysfunctioning for years and fixed them without telling me. And next thing I know, I'm pregnant with a third, with a 3-year-old and a not yet 1-year-old on my hip. And this is where my identity starts to derail. Some issues come up on the family side of the family business, making me question my purpose in the business. And add on top of that post-pregnancy hormones, and pretty soon I found myself in a full postpartum depression that suffocated me and made it impossible to show up to work. After counseling and prayer and my husband looking at me and saying, "This is not healthy," I decided to walk away from my career. The next several years are a mixture of God's grace as well as my floundering and searching. I'll just give a high level of what that looked like. There's a lot of movement in these years, but they're all really important to kind of the end, so I'm just going to kind of touch on them. Shortly after I left my job, Tom Gibbs, pastor of Redeemer, reached out to me to see if I would want a part-time 1-year job leading Redeemer's capital campaign. And so with a little bit of hesitation, but also desperate for any kind of purpose outside of my 3 kids driving me crazy, I took it. I had more time to do yoga, something I'd grown to love over the years, and pretty soon my yoga instructor who was leaving, encouraged me to get certified in Christian yoga, so I did, and then I took over her practice when she moved away. And then Tara asked me if I had any interest in teaching Bible study on Wednesday nights. So I went from a 9-to-5 job in a very corporate setting to a part-time job at the church, an even more part-time job teaching yoga, and a volunteer job teaching Bible study. I completed my 1-year job and decided I was okay just doing yoga and teaching Bible study for a while. Although I will say that this was a time where I really started to struggle with my identity as working mom because it felt like I was no longer able to say that. I got a call from our kindergarten asking me if I could teach kinder yoga. I was a little unsure that I could do that, but I decided to give it a try. So I did that for 2 years before COVID hits and my entire world stops. 3 kids at home, no yoga to be conducted at school or in a studio, no Bible study for a while until we can all get trained on Zoom. Any semblance of working mom is gone. This is when I changed my identity as someone constantly on the move to really sitting with God. I would get up every morning during COVID at 5:30, and I would sit for an hour talking to God. It changed my entire routine and what it looked like for me to study the Bible and also have a relationship with God. As the world opens back up, I slowly get back to teaching Bible study and then kinder yoga, but my routine doesn't change. My relationship with God only grows. Then about 2 years ago, around this time, I was meeting with Matt on some texts that I was struggling to teach in Bible study. I was a little nervous about what you ladies would think about whatever I was teaching. And so we talked about that, and at the end of our meeting, he says, "Hey, the answer is probably no, but any chance you'd be interested in being our children's ministry director when Amy leaves?" I very quickly said, "I'll pray about it, but no." There is more to the story about how I ended up saying yes, but I'm not here to talk about how I got the job. What I want you to see is that God showed me very lovingly why I should say yes in the next 2 weeks as I contemplated it, and he showed me that he had been preparing me for this job all along. See, I worked events in a big corporate job so that something like VBS would not scare or bother me in the least bit. I worked in the family business, something that would always be lingering over my head and wondering if I should do, to realize that I did not want to work in the family business. I worked at the church for just a short time to make me realize I could enjoy working for my church. I got into yoga to then work with hundreds of kids in kindergarten to recognize that I enjoy working with kids and I'm not too bad at it. I taught the Bible to adult women to know that I could be confident teaching the Bible to little kids who quite honestly ask way harder questions than any adult. But here's the best part. I am a working mom, and I could care less. God has shown me that my identity is in none of these things, that He has created me for good works, not for the sake of the works or the recognition or to give my life purpose, but for Him, for His glory, that I get to do these things to say I am a working mom or I'm a career woman, but to say I love Jesus and I belong to Him. And I want to share that with whomever He puts in my path. The kids I see on Sunday, the women I do Bible study with, the three kids I have at home, the church staff I work alongside. Where I used to hope my job would come up in conversation so I could say I'm a working mom, I no longer feel that desire. Instead, I want my job to come up so I can share a sweet story about the kid who asked me a question about Jesus, and I got the privilege to try to answer that and shape his or her understanding of my God, of their God. Ladies, I stand here today with a pretty ordinary story, one that is all about little steps leading to and continuing to lead to a dependency on Jesus and a love of God, a story of a sovereign God creating in me a new identity. I want to end with this quote to sum up my testimony. It's a quote from, I'm going to say his name wrong, but Frederick Knight, I think is how you say it. It's the basis of Eugene Peterson's book titled after this quote, and I think it speaks to the type of witness to God's work my testimony gives. The essential thing, and in heaven and on earth, is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. There, thereby results and has always resulted in the long run, something which has made life worth living. Our God is at work, ladies, and our witness to it in each of our testimonies is something that has made life worth living. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to share a little bit of my story. I pray for the small groups that are about to happen that you will bring forth great conversation, allow women to be bold in sharing prayer requests and life updates, that we may get to know each other deeper and have deeper connections. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in all of our lives that is sovereign, that is ordinary, and is in you, an identity in you. In your name I pray. Amen.